salt time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there, folks. Let me do this right off the bat here as we get rolling here on Monday morning, April, 17th, 2017. Right now, pick up your phone and text somebody and just give them the CoachDaveLive.com link and tell them, tune in. Tell them to tune in because they're going to hear something today that they've never heard. And in fact, it's going to, for those of you who are watching today, you're going to hear something today that for you, you're going to scratch your head and say, what? How can that possibly be? No, I don't do this. My computer wants to restart. Not a good move. Let's get rid of that thing. When I heard this, Pastor Charles Jennings is our guest with us this morning. If you guys have been watching over the last week, we really began to do an expose, just a true walk through history of all those who say they're Israel, Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And Paul warned us about those who say they're Israel, but they're not Israel. Not all those who say Israel are Israel. Began to take a walk through that and the deception that I believe that's taking place for us in the Middle East, that those who are returning to Jerusalem are not really bloodline Jews, but Khazar Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, Jewish converts. And the point that I've been trying to make, it's no longer bloodline Jews, okay? It's not bloodline Judaism. It's going from being a race of people, I would call it Hebrews, a race of people, to a religion. Judaism has become a religion. The pure bloodline probably can't even be discovered anywhere. And we're going to blow your mind. When I met Pastor Jennings, I know it's probably been 10 years ago now, Maggie Schalk introduced me to it, and I heard this message for the first time, and it just bubbled in me, just bubbled. I knew it was right, but it didn't. Nobody anywhere was ever talking about it, so it couldn't have possibly been right. But the more that I've dug into this stuff, and the more that I followed Pastor Jennings, who, by the way, he's outside Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pastors a church, Rose Hill Community Church, there in Tulsa. Pastor Jennings has a worldwide television ministry called Truth and History. Jared, if you would pull that up there real quick, Jared. Let's just pull up his website so folks can see exactly what we're talking about and that stuff. I said, here's his website, Jared, and there's going to be three different links. I want you to hit on this. So I don't want you, here's a point I want you to see. I just didn't pull some cracker out in the middle of Oklahoma, went out and dug somebody up. Click on that, and you can see there's Pastor Jennings' website, Truth in History. He has a scroll down there a little bit, Jared, so they can see it. I hit Jared with a quick one there. And it's a worldwide ministry. Slide on down, Jared, if you can. I don't know if – I'm sorry. Don't mean to keep bossing you there, buddy. Okay, then Jared, let's go to the next page, his TV show. Click on the next link, or you can go to television right there, Jared, and click on that. That would work too. And here's his television show. You can see he's on the World Harvest Television. He's on the Dish Network. He's on DirecTV and NEK TV. Charles Jennings is being listened to around the world, okay? Like I said, this ain't some corn poke I dug outside of cornfield outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then down at the bottom, Jared, click on it. Says, I have one of his shows on my link. I don't know. Maybe I just want people to see the quality of the programming that he's putting out. Yeah, go ahead and click on that. And I was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, five months ago, and Pastor Jennings did a program. Scroll ahead just a little bit, Jared, if you could, just to save us some time there. And I want you to see that here. This is I was his guest out there in his show. And I just want you to see the quality of his program and understand that this goes around the world, and it's called Truth in History. Truth in History. So we've invited, there's some links and stuff from Pastor Jennings, his website, truthinhistory.org. He has a worldwide television ministry, and he's got a lot of great information that he's going to add to supplement some of the things that we've been speaking about. So Pastor Jennings, I think I've done a good job of introducing you. And by the way, I've been to Pastor Jennings' church, Rose Hill Community Church, several times, and they don't just they preach the gospel there, the same gospel that you believe and I believe. They preach the gospel there, not the gospel that just a lot of you saw or heard maybe on Easter Sunday, but he preaches the true gospel. And it's an honor to call Pastor Jennings my friend. And I want to thank George, who got up early in the morning out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to go get Pastor Charles linked up to us here. Pastor Jennings, welcome. And I guess the great question to start off with here, Pastor Jennings, is who are God's chosen people? Or what is this Israel, Jewish, Hebrew? What's the real story there, Pastor Jennings, if you're going to give us some truth in history this morning?
Well, first of all, Coach, I'd like to express my appreciation to you for this opportunity to share this wonderful truth. This truth is revolutionary because it is, number one, it's biblical. It explains history and it explains the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of preaching going on in the world, in Christian churches everywhere, but they very seldom teach anything about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is his plan and his purpose. And in order to have a kingdom, there's five ingredients to any kingdom, whether it be God's kingdom or anybody else's kingdom. And that's people, land, law, throne, and a king.
Say it again real slow, Pastor Jennings.
People.
Every kingdom has to have people.
And a land.
A place to live.
The land to live on. People, land, a law, a set of laws. Our laws is what's contained in this book called the Holy Bible, right here. This is the laws of the kingdom of God. People, land, law, a throne, and a king. If you don't have a king on a throne, you don't have a kingdom. You may have a nation, but you don't have a kingdom. Well, you know, there's a dozen different ways that we could go at any intersection in this conversation. But concerning the law of God, that's one of the things that has been neglected in the preaching of the gospel. And that is the laws of God to govern a nation. And see, that's where your ministry has come in so strong, is because you want to share with people the law of God in order to govern a nation, because
Amen.
Consequences to disobeying these laws. So you have been in the forefront of telling people, wait a minute, this law, we'll say same-sex marriage law. Well, you get that out of the book of God, because that's the law of the kingdom. But anyway, going back to our theme, I would like to give us a theme verse concerning this subject. And that is John 10:27.
Hang on, Pastor Jennings, and we'll get it up here on the screen so people who don't know how to navigate their way through the Bible can follow along with us. John 10:27, is that what you said, Pastor?
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Now, what was Jesus talking about? In the Old Testament, if you will follow the subject of sheep, only Israel was referred to as his sheep people. So when Jesus was teaching, he knew the Old Testament context, and the people around him knew the Old Testament. And he said, my sheep will hear my voice. Now, there, concerning this truth, we'll go back into Old Testament, kind of give a little Old Testament history. We know that God called Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew. It's impossible that he could have been a Jew. He was a Hebrew.
Hebrew preceded Jews.
Absolutely. Now, the word Jew never came into the scriptures until approximately a good 1500 years after Abraham, because being that Abraham was a Hebrew, H-E-B-E-R, which the word Hebrew was named after Heber, which means to cross over. And the scholars tell us that the crossing over concept was crossing over the Euphrates or Tigris River. So we've got Abraham as a Hebrew, then Isaac, he was also a Hebrew, then Jacob, he was also a Hebrew. And the first time that the name Israel came into being was when the Lord changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. So that's the first
time. Okay, so Pastor Jennings, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all Hebrews. Weren't any of them what they've taught us, Jews?
No, they were not Jews, because it's like F.F. Bosworth, the great Christian statesman, said, you don't name your ancestors. You don't rename them. You know, and that's what preachers and wrong theology has done, is to take the name Jew and apply it to Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. That's impossible. But people hear this stuff, they believe it, and they swallow it.
So, folks, it'd be like this. Listen, Pastor Jane, I don't mean to interrupt. You're doing a great job. It's like my daughter was a Dobbenmeyer. She went out and got married, and she became a Ingeman. That would be like going back and renaming me Ingeman.
That's right.
Can't do that.
You can't do that.
Now, the Ingeman grandchildren are from the lineage of Dobbenmeyer. You following, folks? You understand what's going on? But the Ingeman grandchild is not a Dobbenmeyer. He's of the lineage of it.
Yeah.
So Jews are of the lineage of the Hebrews, but Hebrews aren't Jews.
That's right. So this chart that I sent says Abraham's genealogy to the fourth generation. That's this chart right here.
Okay, we're pulling that up right now, Pastor Jennings, on the screen. You don't have to hold it up. We got it on the screen here. Jared, can you enlarge that a little bit, Jared?
Abraham's genealogy to the fourth generation.
Okay, maybe reduce it, Jared. I'm sorry. Okay.
In this chart, we have Abraham at the top, Isaac, Jacob, and then his two wives and their handmaidens. And the fourth generation has all these 51 different names. Only one was, quote, a Jew. Now, where are the other 50 squares or people represented by these squares? They have to be somewhere.
Okay, now, so Pastor Jennings, the Jews came out of the tribe of Judah. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. But
folks, you see on your screen there, he's got all those 12 tribes, 12 families. Judah is merely one of the families, okay? They became known as the Jews, but the rest of the tribes were Hebrews as well. Go ahead, Pastor Jennings.
They were Hebrews, and at this point, they were called Israelites because God had changed Jacob's name to Israel.
Right.
So, but
stop. Do you guys get that? Okay. They were Hebrews, but God pulled aside Jacob, says, listen, Jacob, I'm changing your name. Your name is now Israel. Okay. Go ahead.
That's right. So you've got 12 sons, and these 12 sons, only out of the 12, only one was called Judah. Now, if you want to trace the tribe of Judah, he had, first of all, Judah did wrong. He married outside of his family. He married a Canaanite woman.
Okay, now, Pastor Jennings, this is important, because all of these 12 tribes, they were allowed to intermarry each other, but they were not allowed to marry anybody outside that tribe.
God's plan was for them to, quote, live alone. Or dwell alone. to keep the family line pure and also to keep the religion pure. Because when you, history has proven this, when you mix your bloodline with heathen people, your religion is going to be polluted also. It's going to mix also. So when we find Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as pure Hebrews of the line of Shem, and then we find Jacob as the first Israelite, his sons were called Israelites, only one being Judah, and Judah messed up in the very beginning, and he married this Canaanite woman. This Canaanite woman had three sons. God killed two of them. You know, that's a story within itself. And this one called Shelah was left alive. Now, the Perez and Zerah was born or conceived by another woman, Tamar, which was Judah's ex-daughter-in-law, but she was a Shemite. She was of the same line as Judah and Abraham. So they were pure. But we have this one son that's half Judahite, half Canaanite, called Shelah. And Shelah was his mixed bloodline was actually mentioned as late as the Babylonian captivity. Now, Jews today, I don't know, we could go in two different directions here. We could talk
about... Let's stop right here. Let's make this very, very clear. Does everybody watching this and listening to this right now understand that not... that the Jews are Hebrew, but the Hebrews are not Jews? It's important we understand that.
Yes.
Right?
But
okay, Pastor Jennings, you know where you want to go. You go where you want to go. I want us to get to the whole Caucasus Mountain thing and exactly what happened here.
Okay. Okay. Let me go down this Jewish line first. The Jewish people of today, I've just been rereading some of my Jewish history, written by Jewish scholars.
Not Hebrews, Jews.
Written by modern Jewish scholars, Ashkenazi Jews. They will tell you that there is no such thing as a pure Jewish race.
None.
On the television, we hear all this preaching that this Jewish people that are living today have an unbroken genealogical line all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is a big farce. One of the biggest lies that's ever come down the pike. The Jewish scholars themselves will tell you that there is no such thing as a pure Jewish race. If we go all the way back to Judah, first of all, here's Canaanite blood in this offspring of Judah.
How would you describe Canaanite blood, Pastor Jennings, just merely outside the 12 tribes?
The Canaanite blood was from the cursed line of Canaan, and Canaan was the offspring or the son of Ham.
And so so a Canaanite gets in there, messes with the bubs of Shelah, and creates this unpure lineage.
There's a mixture of Jewish blood in Persia after the Babylonian captivity, you see.
Yeah.
So there's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, he talks about good figs and bad figs. You see, so that's a story within itself. When you come down to the end of the Babylonian captivity, they had mixed wives. You know, Nehemiah was very upset over this idea of these priests coming back from Babylon with mixed children. They had intermarried with Babylonian women. Also, when you come to the intertestamental period. That's the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. Read Jewish scholars and history, and they will tell you that there was a lot of intermixture between the people known as Jews with all the different nations around them. And then you can check the Jewish encyclopedia, and it will, and this I'd like to encourage people to look this up. Look up on your computer John Hyrcanus, H-Y-R-C-A-N-U-S, John Hyrcanus. He was a man who was a Jewish zealot who went over to Edom. That's the Edomites. And Edom, or Idumea, was a land just south and east of the Jordan River, not far from Jerusalem. And in 120 BC, 120 years basically before Christ, he went over there. He forced the Edomites to become Jews. He even forced the men to be circumcised. Now, I didn't get this out of some rag sheet somewhere. It's in the Jewish encyclopedia. It's in Jewish history. He forced Edom. Well, Edom goes back to Esau. Esau was a perpetual enemy of God and of Israel. So in the days of Jesus, Herod, that sat on the throne, that wanted to kill the Christ child, was an Edomite. Scholars would tell you that. He was an Edomite. But he was also an adherent to the Jewish religion or Judaism.
Okay, so let me paint a picture here again, Pastor Jennings, for those of you listening out there. If anybody has a question, just, you know, give me a wave so we can ask one. This is fascinating. I'm sure most of you listening have never heard anything like this ever. Just right now we could stop and say, my head's spinning. But let's help people to understand that the Hebrews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are Hebrews. He renamed Jacob Israel, but the 12 tribes were all Hebrews. They were not Jews. And the only way that this perfect bloodline would be able to make it through, Pastor Jennings, from the time of Jacob until today, would be that every one of these 12 tribes married only within those 12 tribes. If anybody married outside of that, that bloodline would have been broken. So as we look back now over 2,000 years, there is no such thing as a perfect bloodline Jew, because they have all at some point married outside the original 12 tribes. And so therefore that Jewish bloodline is no longer pure. Would that be a good assessment?
Yes, the bloodline of the Jewish people, like one scholar said, we are a mongrel race.
All of us are.
Yeah.
Sarah has a question for you. Go ahead, Sarah.
I'm just curious about the 144,000 then that are chosen in the book of Revelation that are specially marked. Could they be pure bloodline?
Yes. Okay. Let me back up a little and kind of come forward to that question.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's go back into the Old Testament. Now, we have the United Kingdom of Israel under David. You see, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they were not a kingdom, because they didn't have a king. They were a nation under Moses. Later on, they became a kingdom under David, because David was God's ordained king for that nation. And they were given this set of laws, but they were disobedient, just like we are today. So the Lord's, the tribes, they divided, the kingdom divided after Solomon. They divided. So you have basically 10 tribes to the north, which was called Israel or Ephraim. Then you had two tribes, and Levi was divided between both tribes, between both nations. So you have two tribes to the south, basically Judah and Benjamin.
So that's how we get the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom that they talk about.
Right. And on the northern kingdom was known as Israel, Ephraim, or Joseph. The southern kingdom basically was known as Judah. So when the kingdom divided, they divided because God had a plan. He said, "This is of me." Now, this two kingdoms, two nations, basically both Israelites, they existed for approximately 300 years as two different nations. And then the Assyrian kings came down and conquered northern Israel. And there were basically eight deportations between 745 and 721 BC. And he carried these people away into captivity. Now, this is found in the book of Kings, the history books of the Bible. And then the Assyrian king went down to Judah, the southern kingdom, and he conquered all the fenced cities around Jerusalem. He did not touch Jerusalem. He conquered the fenced cities around Jerusalem. So there's all 12 tribes involved in the Assyrian captivity. Now, where did these people go? That's the big question. Now,
and they call this a diaspora. Is that what they call this, Pastor?
Yes.
When they were dispersion, when these tribes were dispersed to the other, they were taken out of their land and dispersed throughout the world.
That's right. So where did these people go? Now, there's a theory called the amalgamation theory. And that's all it is just the theory. Because most of these fundamentalists and dispensationalists and futurist preachers today will say, well, all of Israel returned to Palestine and they went into the Babylonian captivity with the Jews. That is not true. There is no proof. Even the Jewish scholars and rabbis say that that is not true. These people, known as Israelites, they migrated north and west. And if you would take this map, you know, the map that I sent you, Coach, the one that you held up.
Right.
And it shows the different names by which these people were called.
By the way, if I can stop right there, Pastor Jennings, folks, if you would contact him, he's got all kinds of materials he can send you. Here's one of the maps that he's talking about.
Yeah, your map shows, is upside down.
Well, that's awful bad. I would do that. Turn the right side. He would make this available to you. You just have to. Can they just email you, Pastor Jennings? How would they get some of the information that you have?
No, I don't think we can email the map.
Okay. Well, no, they could email you and request it.
Yeah. Yeah, they can just email me and we'll be glad. And you know, we have five brochures that helps to explain this whole thing, this whole story. Israel, are the Jews really the Israel of the Bible? That's one of them. And then another one is who were the Galatians? And it proves in here that they were Israelites. Why don't you believe what the prophets have told you? The God and people of two covenants. And then here's this last one, the truth about the six-pointed star. It is not an Israelite symbol. It is a symbol of idolatrous worship and medieval mysticism.
Folks, so, go to truthinhistory.org, truthinhistory.org, and just tell Pastor Jennings that you would like to have these brochures. I'd like to have it sent to you. And he'll be glad to do that. Yeah, Roger, do you have a question?
We'll send them free of charge.
Email Charles at Truth and History.
Yeah,
email, just,
just email me at charles@truthandhistory.org.
charles@truthandhistory.org. Go ahead, Roger.
Quick question, Pastor. I'm at a restaurant this weekend. It's in a Jewish community I was raised in, and there's a group of Jewish men that I'm overhearing a conversation about Passover. Is it fair to say that those Jewish men are in a religion that they technically joined, that they are not Jewish?
That's very possible. I mean, we don't know who those men are. They could have been born
Go ahead, Roger.
My point is, if it is a religion now and it's not pure Judaism, is it not more likely that they may have a cultural Jewish background, but there is no bloodline Jewish background?
Absolutely.
And thus they are of joining the religion of Judaism versus any historical or bloodline connection.
Absolutely. The Jewish scholars will tell you that.
Okay, Pastor Jennings, explain. No. I'm sorry. Explain.
Sammy Davis Jr. was a Jew. I mean, he just joined the religion.
Right. So, Pastor Jennings, you're a wealth, you're a fountain of information, and you're probably overwhelming thinking, where am I going to take these guys? Take us here, Pastor Jennings. We understand now the diaspora. We understand what happened. Explain to us today. I've tried to do this, but I won't do it as well as you've done it. The Khazar Jews and Ashkenazic Jews, explain what happened there. Because, Roger, I would say that the men that you ran into in that restaurant are probably converted Jews. Maybe not them. Somebody down their bloodline converted to Judaism. They've been raised Jewish. They've been raised believing they were a race. But that's just not true. Could you explain that, Pastor Charles?
Yes, because, you know, if you take the now, Jewish scholars have said that there's basically two types of, quote, Jews in the world.
Jewish scholars say this.
Yes, Ashkenazi and Sephardic. Ashkenazi is probably 90% of all the Jews in the world. They consider themselves Ashkenazi. And then the Sephardic or Spanish Jews. And these two groups of people are basically divided by the parts of the world that they came from. And the Sephardic Jews mainly are from Spain. And they have blood mixture from North Africa. Now, the Ashkenazi Jews are Jews that if you'll look in the genealogy of Japheth, and you'll find not Shem, but you'll find that word Ashkenaz. That's their bloodline originally, but they have been mixed with people wherever they have gone or traveled.
So what is an Ashkenazi Jew then, Pastor?
An Ashkenazi Jew is basically a person that has, you know, we're going way back into history, back to the time of Noah's sons. There's an Ashkenaz in Japheth's bloodline, but those people were not of the chosen line of Shem, but they have mixed, you know. We must realize that as civilization was established in the East, you know, and all civilization, all groups of people have migrated from East to West. So we're talking about the world history. Well, when we come to, let me back up to the time of Christ, and I want to try to make this quick. Go back to John Hyrcanus. John Hyrcanus forced the Edomites. Now, they're the descendants of Esau. They were the enemies of God. These Edomite, quote, Jewish people at the time of Jesus Christ. Now we can identify the enemies of Jesus Christ. They were Edomites by blood and Jewish by religion. And when I say Jewish or Judaism, it is not, Judaism is not the pure Hebraic or Hebrewism or the Mosaic law. It is a perversion, because out of Babylon, they came with their oral law, which they later codified and called the Talmud. That's their sacred book. The sacred book of Judaism is not the Torah of the Old Testament. It's the Talmud. It's that filthy book of about 13 volumes published by Sonsini Publication. And it involves philosophy and mysticism and religious ideas and everything. But these people at the time of Christ were following the Talmud, which Jesus called the traditions of men or the commandments of men.
You teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect.
That's exactly.
So he came to destroy that system.
Now we see who the enemies of Christ really were. They were members of the Jewish religion of mixed blood, mainly of Canaanite, Edomite blood. Now, who is against Christianity and Christ today, mainly? There's a lot of Israelites that are against Christ. But the organized effort to de-Christianize our nation has come from mainly Jewish organizations. The
ACLU. Jewish,
the ACLU, the JDL.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes. All these organizations, and who rises up and files a lawsuit against County X because they have a cross on the yard of the courthouse or a nativity scene. You see, who has perverted our culture more than these people that hated Jesus and that hated the apostles? It's the same crowd. But
okay, so folks, hang in there with us, because we're going someplace. Pastor Charles Jennings, truthandhistory.org, truthandhistory.org. Pastor Jennings, were the Jews or the Hebrews, particularly in the time of Jesus, were they white-skinned folks like me?
I think so. You see, there's always been God's people, even in the midst of this bad generation, you know, because during the time of Christ, we have this lady Asher, that is her name was Anna of the tribe of Asher. So there was always a remnant of true Israelites, even among that Jewish nation. But the one other point, historical point of mixture, comes in 740 AD. And this is called Khazars. I would encourage everybody to look that up in their encyclopedia, look it up on the web, K-H-A-Z-A-R. Sometimes it's spelled C-H-A-Z-A-R, Khazars. Khazars was a group of people that were living in southern Russia. It was a strong empire. They kind of controlled the trade on the Silk Route, you know, from China, etc. And they had no religion. So they interviewed representatives of Christianity, which was basically Catholicism at that time. Christianity. They interviewed representatives of Islam and Judaism, and they chose to be Jews. Now, this kind of goes to the question that the gentleman asked concerning the men in the restaurant. Because when the king, he said, we want to have a national or a state religion. they chose Judaism. So they were not of the line of Shem. They were not of the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Historians tell us that they were basically Turco-Mongolian people. So now we've got a whole thousands of people that overnight became, quote, Jews. And as this was in 740 AD, now that kingdom broke up because they were invaded by northern tribes out of Russia, because this was in southern Russia, in Khazaria. And when I was in Russia in 1996, I asked my interpreter, I said, have you ever heard of Khazaria? He said, absolutely, I've been there. He said, it was a Jewish community that was broken up, and they moved as the wars took place, as people migrated, they moved into Hungary and Yugoslavia, into Poland, into Germany, and as migrations of people moved west, they moved west. They came into England, and then they came into America.
So non-bloodline Jews, converted Jews.
Non-bloodline Jews, but yet preachers today are hailing these people as God's chosen people, and some of them know good and well that these people are Khazars. They are
Pastor
not.
I'm going to pop the clutch here, Pastor Jennings. We got about 15 minutes left here. It said through thy seed, all the nations will be blessed. That's what it said, Pastor Jennings. And somehow, some way, this gospel of Jesus Christ, Khazar Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, the Spanish Jews, we can get wrapped up in all that stuff. But somehow out of all of that, Pastor Jennings, the gospel of Jesus Christ made it to the world.
Yes.
How did that happen, Pastor? Because we have to know this, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, was not spread through any of the Jews. Whether they be bloodline Jews, whether they be Ashkenazi Jews, whether they be Khazar Jews, the Jewish people certainly did not take Jesus Christ to the world because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Yet, we're sitting here, I'm sitting here today in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio, and the gospel of the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, has made it here. Pastor, how the heck did it get here?
Okay. Okay. You know, out of the Assyrian captivity, all these Israelites, pure Israelites, they migrated. Now, why are we called Caucasians? Because our ancestors crossed the Caucasus Mountains north of Turkey between the Black and the Caspian Seas. So they migrated into northwestern Europe and formed the 10 nations, 10 Gothic nations. Then they moved into Great Britain. So now you've got all these people. This took about 500-600 years. So Jesus comes along and he told the people, he said, I have sheep. Now he's standing in Jerusalem at the time. He said, I have sheep which are not of this fold. In other words, not of the fold that's right there in Palestine. He says, I know where my sheep are located. So Jesus died. He rose again. He called a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 9, the Lord spoke and said, Saul, he was speaking of Saul in Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. That word Gentiles means nations. And in most places, it's referring to the Israel nations that were in dispersion, because all these people in Europe, Israelites in Europe, Great Britain, they were Israelites. And so Paul was the man that's going to bear the name of Christ to the nations or the Gentiles, kings, and he said also the children of Israel. Now, I want to turn to Acts number 13 real quick. And Paul is preaching.
Hang on, Pastor. We're keeping up with you here. Acts 13.
Paul is preaching. And he's preaching in Acts 13:45. He's preaching to the Jews. It said, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which Paul was talking about. But in verse number 46, it tells us this. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you.
The Jews.
Because, you know, he said elsewhere, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile or to the nations. So they had their chance. The Jews have already had their chance. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we go or we turn to the Gentiles or to the nations. And then it gives a scripture.
Wow.
For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, if thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
Mm.
Now, that scripture, verse 47, is quoted from Isaiah 49, talking about Jacob. So Jacob was living in the, quote, ends of the earth. Now, Paul the apostle, I want to, you know, everybody is familiar with Adam Clark. You know, the Adam Clark commentary that preachers have had for decades. He was a Methodist preacher. He was twice or three times the president of the Methodist Conference in England. He died in 1732. And this is what he said concerning the Apostle Paul. And it will explain how the gospel came to us. Out of his commentary of Matthew 24:14, he says this. He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. He says, on this point, Bishop Newton goes on to say that there is some probability that the gospel was preached in the British nations by Saint Simon the Apostle, that there is much greater probability that it was preached here by Saint Paul. And it was preached before 70 AD.
So they took the gospel to England.
Paul the apostle preached the in the life of Paul. There's about a 4 or 5 silent year span, somewhere around AD 60, 64. Where did he go? Now, in the book of Acts, he definitely tells us that he wanted to go to Rome. And that's Rome, Italy. These people living in the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire had shipping lanes. They were very intelligent people. And they traveled to England to buy tin because it was called, there was a lot of tin mines in Great Britain. You know, when I first heard about this, I went over there, checked it out. And Paul the Apostle, no doubt, caught a Roman commercial ship and went to Great Britain. And there is evidence that Paul the Apostle went to County Kent, which is southeast England, which would be southeast of London. He came up the Thames River and preached at Ludgate Hill, where this big cathedral is located today, called St. Paul's Cathedral. And on the grounds of that cathedral, there's a statue of the Apostle Paul. Now, why would they put his name on that cathedral? And why would they have a monument of him.
Okay, Pastor Jennings, also, for time's sake, I'm sorry. This guy's unbelievable, isn't he, folks? The wealth of knowledge that he has. I can't even tell you what my uncle did 2 weeks ago. Here's the point. The tribes were dispersed. Some went over the Caucasus Mountains.
Yes.
They snuck down ended up down in England. Paul went to the Jews. He told the Jews, and the Jews rejected. He said, okay, that's all right. I'm going to take this message, and we're going to go take it to the Gentiles then. And so Simeon. And so then Paul gets on a boat and he goes and he takes the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ to Great Britain.
That's right.
And then what happens?
Now,
well, look around, right?
That's right. So, I mean, you know, common sense tells us who are the Israelites? Who accepted the gospel?
Who took the gospel to the world?
And the promise to Abraham is that your seed is going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Who has been a blessing to all the families of the earth? You know, we could talk about this thing until the cows come home. But, you know, in our latest magazine here, I guess I got it in here. You know, is it coincidental or is it providential that the gospel came to Great Britain? Now, you know, there's evidence by the Church of England, strong evidence that Jesus himself came to Southwest England, Cornwall, Somerset counties during the 18 silent years of his life between the age of 12 and 30. And Jesus came to Great Britain. Joseph of Arimathea came to Great Britain. But we have made a video concerning Paul the Apostle's visit to England. And now that is on the website somewhere.
Okay, Pastor Jennings, time out, brother. I'm with you. I'm looking at time. I want to bring this home, Pastor Jennings. Here's what we've got, folks. Here's what we've got to understand. The gospel went to Great Britain. The gospel went to Great Britain, okay?
Right.
What happened when the gospel went to Great Britain? It's thrived, and we called that what? Western civilization.
That's
what
right.
happened next? The pilgrims, the Puritans got on a boat and they left Great Britain and they brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to the New World.
That's
the
right.
gospel being evangelized over the Caucasus Mountains into Great Britain, across the water to America. And what did America then do? America then took the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where did America take the gospel of Jesus
That's
Christ?
Right. The reason why we're Christians is because we are his sheep. And his plan and his purpose was that this Messiah would come, Jesus the Christ, this Savior would come to his sheep. That's the whole theme of the Old Testament was messianic hope, that Israel would have a Savior and a Messiah.
Okay, Pastor Jennings, I got to time out again here because we're in the middle of a series, so I want to be able to make this connection for people to understand today, Pastor Jennings, we see what they say, the regathering of the sheep into Israel and something called Zionism. We talked about that on our show on Friday. How does Zionism play into this, Pastor Jennings?
Well, Zionism is the bogus. It's the fake. Because, you know, every student of history knows that Zionism came in as a political movement, not as a religious movement. It started building up steam in the late 1800s, 1897, Theodore Herzl, you know, Basel, Switzerland, and then the Balfour Declaration and World War I, that's what it was fought about. World War II was fought about Zionism, bloodshed, because they get us to spend our dollars and our sons.
So Zionism is man-made Judaism, a religious Judaism, a secular Judaism masquerading as the real thing.
That's right. And preachers have bought into this thing. But anyway, you know, the young lady that asked the question about 144,000, real quick, the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7 were the, it was a picture of God preserving his Israel people during the dark ages. That's who they were. And that's a representative number because, you know, 12,000 from each tribe. It's a representative number that I'm going to preserve my Israel people because God had a plan and he brought us all the way up to the Protestant Reformation. You see,
where Jared, bring up Fred on everything there. Fred on everything, Jared. Bring that up for me real quick. I sent you that link. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
Where has the gospel flourished? Where did the great Protestant Reformation take place? It took place among the Caucasian Anglo-Saxon people. And who has brought the greatest advancements in technology, in agriculture, religion, that is Christianity, and in government to the world? We've made our mistakes. We've made some big mistakes. But we are the ones, mainly the Anglo-Saxons, the Germanic, Scandinavian people are the ones that have had the stabilization in government. Check your encyclopedia as to the inventions of
Pastor Jennings. I'm going to show them this right now. We got 5 minutes. I woke up this morning, folks. I opened up my email inbox, and this article is at the top of my email inbox, and it's written by called Fred on Everything. Fred Reed. I've read him over the years. He's very sarcastic when he writes. He wrote, "Note for a white kid in the university, an introduction to the blindingly obvious." Just hang on with me, Pastor. It says, if you're a white student in college, you doubtless hear daily that white people are evil, the principal cause of everything wrong in the world. Whiteness is bad. White people are bad. We are to blame for everything. And if you believe this, you're being gamed. What you are being told is nonsense. If you have the intelligence and self-respect to think for yourself, ask yourself this. What have other races and ethnic groups accomplished in the world compared to white people? Now, go down, Jared. Go down a couple. I'll send you guys and you can read this. But I want you to see this, Pastor Jennings, because okay. It's exactly what you're talking about. Go on down, Jared. It says, shows buildings of white men began to build. See, folks, this isn't race. It's only race if you see it as race. Keep going on down. Keep little bit more. Okay, here he goes. He says, okay, these things right there, Jared, these things were all discovered by white people. Euclidean geometry, parabolic geometry, hyperbolic geometry, projective geometry, differential geometry, classical mechanics, the indeterminacy principle, the wave equation, the Parthenon, the Anubis, the air conditioning, number theory, Romanesque architecture, Gothic architecture, mathematics, the 12-tone scale, the internal combustion engine, turbojets, turbofans, Doppler-based sharpening, penicillin, airplane surgery, the mammogram, the pill, football, condom, polio, goes on and on and on and on and on. All of them created by who? By who, Pastor Jennings?
That's right.
See, through all the world would be blessed. Are you guys seeing the pictures? Are you seeing the pictures? Through his people, all of the world would be blessed.
Now, if anyone would like to have these five brochures free of charge, just send us an email, charles@truthinhistory.org. Give us your name, your address. Tell us that you saw us on Coach Dave's show, and we'll mail you these five brochures absolutely free of charge. We also have a magazine, that we produce, and this magazine, we have a special edition concerning this subject alone. So our new magazine that we are mailing out, Coach, you'll get this in the mail in a couple weeks, concerning this very same subject.
Truthinhistory.org. I'm up against the clock here, Pastor Jennings. Listen, okay, now listen, for all of you that are out there, I hear you. This is not a race issue. You can try to call me a white supremacist. You can try all that you want to. It ain't even about that. This is truth and history. And as white men came, Western civilization came to the United States and to the world, it came through the white man, and the white man has domesticated things all around the world. This is, I'm not saying white men are better than anybody else. I'm saying our true history is the gospel of the kingdom of God came to the world over the Caucasus Mountain through Caucasians. And now the Chinese have it, the Japanese have it, the Africans have it, the South Americans have it, because this is how the migration took place. Folks, there is more stuff than you will ever want to know. Just go to truthandhistory.org. Pastor Jennings has more stuff. You can argue with me all you want. You can call me names all you want to, but the truth is the truth is the truth. Bug spray. Bug spray created by Caucasians. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Great, great. Pastor Jennings, thanks for being with us, man. You gave us you gave us a whole bunch of history in a short period of time. You hang in there when we sign off, because some of these folks might have a question for you. Folks, just do some research. Truthandhistory.org. Go there. Go ahead, Pastor Jennings.
Okay. God bless you, Coach. Appreciate being on the show. And, you know, sorry that we just kind of had a shotgun.
Oh, come on, man. We had a thousand different directions we could go. People got to do some research on their own. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.